Scripture's coming from John 10, 14 and the 15th verse. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen.
There is a God in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here today and grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us who be the saints of God. Now shortly, I'll open the Bible to a book of Acts, chapter 20. That's Acts chapter 20. And my invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will serve as the context for today's lesson, The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Acts chapter 20, lesson titled The Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd. You know, there's an old phrase that been around for a little while, and the phrase says, lead, follow, or get out of the way. That's what it says. Either you lead, you follow, or you just, it's easy, get out of the way. You know, it's important when one makes a decision on whom one should follow. And the reason being is that leadership is of critical importance in every venue of life. So choosing to follow the wrong type of leader or choosing to be the wrong type of leader can have eternal consequences for those who will follow us. That's why personal and congregational leadership is given such high priority in the New Testament. When you do a cursory reading of scriptures, you will reveal that there's a lot of churches that had challenges. You read about the church at Corinth, church at Galatia, at Philippi, or the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. And most of those all face tremendous challenges. The attack of our adversary on the church has not and will not cease. Neither will the attack of Satan end on individual Christians. He just won't let up. So if there is this morning any guilt, some attitude of bitterness or resentment, if there's any criticism or complaint or any thought of ungodliness, you can be sure that Satan is scheming to find a way to use that against you, to bring you, your family, or the church down. The good news is that all the aforementioned churches, they didn't quit. The church did not quit. They continue to praise God. They continue to stand for truth and spread the gospel. And much of that can be accredited to the leadership in place at these congregations. And at the end of Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking to the leaders at Ephesus, to whose elders whom we expect to have knowledge as to what to do, to the elders whom we expect to be positive examples, to the elders whom we expect to love the church, to the elders whom we expect to love the Lord and embrace God's word. Paul expected that of these men and spoke of his concerns for them as leaders of God's flock. Here's what he said. You got your Bibles, Acts chapter 20. We're going to start in verse number 17. If your Bible print is too small for you, we got it on the board. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 32. I'm going to do a little reading this morning to get into the context of the lesson. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, my brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You know, Paul knows that he won't see them anymore. And because Paul will not see them anymore, he speaks about things that are on his heart, about things that are eternally important to him. In particular, he speaks to these men on how they should lead and how they should shepherd, oversee, and elder the flock of God. You know what the reality is today? The reality is that all Christians carry influence. We ought to be light in a dark world and salt in a world that needs preserving. Some sociologists say that even the most introverted person in the room among us today carries some influence. And they will literally affect the lives of thousands of individuals. Virtually every role that you can imagine, any and every role you can imagine exerts some leadership. Every one of us leads in one way or another. But you see, there's something special. Paul says about the leadership roles, elders, shepherds, overseers provide for a local church. He goes on to say that you are to esteem them highly and emulate their faith, for they are examples unto the flock. It doesn't say that shepherds are sinless men, because they're not. But it does say they have special responsibilities given to them of God. Much has been entrusted to them and much has been given to them. So it's true that since much is given, much will be required from their hands. This morning, I want to talk about shepherds in the local church just like this. And I want to talk about the individual roles we have as well. And also about the influence that we all exert, elder, or member of Christ, Christian, or shepherd. I want to talk about the influence that we all exert as we live our lives from day to day. According to Acts chapter 14, Paul had appointed a lot of elders. So I imagine it was difficult to address these men in particular. He knew that he was coming. He knew what was coming, and he wanted to stay and see him through this challenge. But he just couldn't be there. So he says to those elders, and he says to our elders and to every man who will someday serve in that office, that these three things must be true of you if you're going to serve in the office of an elder. The first thing is this: God's shepherds protect God's flock. Paul said to the men of Ephesus that God's shepherds protect God's flock. In Acts chapter 20, when he meets with the elders, he gives them a very serious warning. This is what he says: "For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing a flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." He says a source of part of the problem will be from among yourselves. A source of part of the problem in the church comes from within, he says. Some of you will speak perverse things, and the motive behind that is to draw away disciples unto themselves. So take heed to the flock, as well as to yourselves, and shepherd the flock of God. He says, you shepherd the church of God, take heed unto yourselves, watch for your own souls as well, and shepherd the church of God. Let's just qualify that, because the world defines things in different ways. You see, as far as the Bible is concerned, shepherd, elder, bishop, overseer, presbyter, they're all the same office. But out there in the world, you find people having a bishop being a little better than an elder. And the shepherd, I don't know where he comes in there, but an overseer, he's way down there. And a brother, oh, you better believe he's out of the picture. Shepherd, elder, bishop, overseer, presbyter, they all speak of the same office. The terms are synonymous. And it refers to a man that has enough time on this earth, a man that has enough chronology in his life to gain some experience and wisdom so as to oversee the church of God. It's similar to the wisdom that's displayed in the men of Issachar who knew what Israel should do in 1 Chronicles 12, 32. It says that the men of Issachar knew exactly what Israel should do. And so is the call to shepherd the flock of God. It's an idea that's modeled after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A call to shepherd the flock of God. I mean, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11 and verses 14 through 15. Listen to God. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that men may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's incredible to me, and it's always amazing when you look at Scripture and you find things that just sometimes just make you look in a different direction from what you was looking initially. Because for me, this is one of the greatest narratives in all the New Testament about the concept of leadership and shepherding. And with our elder brother, Jesus the Christ, as the good shepherd, he says, "I am the door of the sheep pen. And if a predator attempted to get to the flock, that'll come through me." A predator had to get past the shepherd, a shepherd who's going to protect the flock always against any and all threats. "I'm the door," he said. So Paul would say, grievous wolves are going to come, and they're going to come in among you, some from yourselves and some from the outside. But your duty is to always protect the flock of God. Your duty is always to love the fold, to love the church, to love Christians, and to point those erring back to God. And to gather people to the point of sacrificing even your personal life for them and protecting them from any who would bring harm to the flock. Let me tell you, it's a God-given imperative. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but it's a God-given imperative that elders will ultimately give an account for the members of the flock, because they were called by God to protect that flock. So they were ultimately give an account to God for that. And out of their duty, they must willingly give an account for the souls whom God has entrusted and charged them to protect. They account for our souls. Shepherds will protect God's truth. It's the second thing he says to these men. Shepherds will protect God's truth. Every shepherd, you remember, had at his disposal a tool or two which aided him in his role. We read Psalms, it says, "Thy rod and thy staff." They had some tools that they used at their disposal. But spiritually speaking, in the church, the number one tool of the shepherd is the Bible. It's the Word of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. "So now, brethren, I commend you to God, into the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance unto all those who are sanctified." Paul says, listen, challenges are going to come. He said, but in the face of those challenges, all of you must be men of the book. Issues are going to arise. But in the face of all those issues, you must be men of the Bible. And great emphasis is given by God that elders rightly handle the word of truth. So he said to Timothy and to Titus that these men must be able to teach. He said these men must hold fast the faithful word of God. And these men must have the capability to exhort and convict those who contradict the truth of God. Listen to what else he said. And these men must be able to stop the mouths of false teachers. Amen. Too many people don't want to challenge those that teach false doctrine. He says, those of us that will be elders or those that are elders already must be able to stop the mouth of false teachers. Listen, when God speaks of feeding the flock, the food he has in mind is the word of God. And to feed the flock a steady diet of God's word as they grow is something that God wants for the elders to do. To feed those who have wandered away from the fold, because threats will not bring them back to God. Coercion will not bring people back to God. It's only the word of God that is able to make one wise unto salvation. You can threaten them all you want. It's only the word of God that's able to make one wise unto salvation. So shepherds must be men who study. Shepherds must be men who learn. Shepherds must be men who listen. Shepherds must be men who ask questions. Because it's God's word that gives us a foundation. And as we feast on God's word, his word can become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As we feast on God's word, his grace reaches each and every one of us. So when one deviates, when one wanders away from the fold of God, from the flock, you find it happens slowly. And often it happens without notice because their spiritual diet has changed. So shepherds and elders, overseers must be men of God who can see those spiritually malnourished sheep and see any departure that might be taking root among the flock of God. They have to see that. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. He said, a time's going to come when the sheep will not listen to the shepherd any longer. They want to wander off. They want to do their own thing because they have itching ears. And they're going to find teachers who are going to tell them what they want to hear. Turn their ears away from the truth and listening to nothing but lies. Let me just say to you, that was true then, and it's true now. It's so true now. Look around. Where are the sheep? Where are the sheep? It's why shepherds must lead through teaching and example. Where are the sheep? It's why elders must be men of the book. Where are the sheep? It's why shepherds must stand where God stands. It's why they must draw a line where God has drawn a line. It's why shepherds must be willing to never close their eyes to what's going on. And never, ever should a shepherd play favoritism among the members. Why? Because the standard is God's word. And failure to protect the doctrine will lead to terrible things. I mean, what good is it to have a sign, a designation on the church, when the doctrine inside has no biblical basis? It has no foundation on which to stand. You can put whatever you want outside of this building. If that's not what's inside, it has no standing, no foundation at all. You know what the tragedy is? The tragedy is every individual life of unattended service to God. Every individual life of unbowed knees to God, of unconfessed sin to God. Every individual life of an unsubmitted heart to God will allow the wolves to come in. Let me tell you something. Just because you designate yourself as other than male or female, listen to me now. Just because you designate yourself as other than male or female, or other than man or woman, doesn't account for the truth as God has prescribed. The church is not the church that was purchased by the blood of Christ just because of the sign that's posted outside. If the doctrine is also not based on the truth that God has prescribed, the wolves are going to come. They're coming in. And the wolves are going to come in, he said, some among yourselves. It's an inside job. So shepherds are men who protect God's truth, because failure to protect the doctrine will lead to terrible things. The third thing Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, he said, shepherds will protect their character. Acts 20:28, the Bible says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You know what Paul does? Paul reminds them of their position in two ways. He says, remember, it was the Holy Spirit who made you overseers. And remember, you are to shepherd the church of God. This is the church of Christ. It belongs to the Lord. They shepherd the church that belongs to God, the church that he purchased with his own blood. And they do it with the understanding that there will not be anyone trying to draw away disciples unto themselves. Because what we must always remember is it's not about us. It's always about God. Always about God. You see, what often happens is that someone who desires to work, when they're not selected for the work by the church, what they do is they desire to work, they're not chosen by the church, and then they cause problems. Well, he proves himself unworthy of the office he desires, and he proves the wisdom of the church in not even selecting him because he's causing problems. He's not fit to serve in the office. Paul reminds them, it's not about them. It's about the flock that we serve. It's about God's flock. You know, here's the truth. I don't know if you want to deny it, or if you want to embrace it, but this is the pure truth. Some churches among our numbers have chief shepherds. They have head potentates. Yeah, they do. You got one elder who wants to rule everything, and the other elders are just puppets underneath them. Some of the churches around here have chief shepherds. Yeah, they do. But I've never seen these churches grow, and I've never seen them prosper with a human chief shepherd. It'll never happen. Never happen. We at this congregation can be grateful to God that there's no hint of a chief shepherd among the eldership that serves here at Franklin Street. I'm grateful to God for that. Because there's only one chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. So Paul reminds these men that ultimately these are not your people. These are not your flock. It's the flock of God. It's the church of God. Feed the church that belongs to God, not to us. You see, we as a church, we have a twofold obligation. On the one hand, Scripture says, remember those who rule over you, who speak the word of God to you. Follow their faith. Consider the outcome of their conduct. And on the other side are the shepherds who are to watch for our souls, who understand that being a shepherd, elder, or overseer in a local church is not about having a title. It's not about that. It's a work of service. Being an elder in the church is a work of service. And with the understanding that they must give an account for the souls entrusted to them by God. Can you imagine that burden? Can you imagine that? They have to give an account for my soul, for your soul, for the souls of the flock that they serve. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. So let them do so with joy, not with grief, for they would be unprofitable to you. They want to give an account to God filled with joy about you and your journey, not with grief. So what that tells me is that some of us as sheep are going to grieve those elders in the line of their service. But Paul says to the elders, the Hebrew writer says that we should let them do so with joy, not with grief. Not giving them a hard time, not giving them a heartache, but that they can appear before the judgment seat of God and give a good account for your soul. You know, there are a lot of roles where leadership is exercised, not just in an eldership. Every one of us exercises influence and leadership in our lives. The question is, in these roles that you play, are you protecting your wife? Husbands, are you protecting your wife in a leadership role? Are you protecting your husband? Women, are you protecting your husband? Are you protecting your children? Will they follow your example as you lead them to heaven? Or are you guarding their spirit? Are you guarding your spirit? Are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding your attitude? You know, a lot of mothers yield a lot of influence on their children. Some more than the fathers do, because they spend more time with the children than do the fathers in most cases. So my question is this: will your children one day with integrity rise up and call you blessed? Will they do it? How you doing with that? How are you doing in the influence of your friends? Will they follow you to heaven? How you doing with the influence of your coworkers? Will they follow you in heaven? Will they look at you and know full well that this man or this woman is doing good for the sake of Christ? We all have an influence on somebody. My question is, how you doing with that individually or as a family? You know, I got about 10 more minutes, but before I close, I just want to say this. Let me just say that there are men in this congregation that are and may qualify as deacons. Listen to me. There are men in this congregation that may and do qualify as deacons. If that is your desire to serve in that office, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? The church as a body needs you to exercise the authority and the leadership delegated to you by the elders. To help protect yourself and the church doctrinally, we need that, because the Bible speaks of elders and deacons. And to hold the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, that is, if you're going to serve in that office, you have to know and live the truth. And there are some in this congregation that know and they're living the truth. They are qualified for that office. And if that's your desire, my question is, what you waiting for? What you waiting on? This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to know, and I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works, because these things are good and profitable to men. You know, it's important when one makes a decision on whom he should follow. And as a member of the body of Christ, elder and member alike, do you protect your words and your actions? Do you protect them in such a way so that those who follow you will be safe? Do you protect your words and actions in such a way that your influence and your example will lead those who follow you to heaven? You do that. And then we can look at ourselves, and we turn quickly and we look at others before we finish examining ourselves. All of us are leaders in some way, in some aspect in our lives. The question is, where are you leading those people to? And where are you going? There's only one chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. You know, to the Jews of dispersion, Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. He says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. When the chief shepherd comes, for the church, those who have served diligently and effectively, those who have served responsibly and spiritually, done the work that God has called them to do, will receive the crown of righteousness, crown of glory that fades not away. How about you this morning? How's your leadership capabilities? How's your leadership qualities? There are those of us this morning who follow the lead of just any and everything that comes along. We just can't make a decision on what's truth and what's not truth. So we follow anything that comes in our path. We duck and dodge the truth because we would rather not embrace the truth, because we want to be living among those that are in the world. You know, one thing about sheep is they always follow with their head down, because they're eating, constantly eating and walking at the same time. And that's where the shepherd comes in, because we feed with our head down, we trust the shepherd to lead us in the right direction, to lead us to green pasture and still waters. We trust the shepherd to lead us, to guard and direct our path as we go to heaven. But there are those of us who are not elders, who are not shepherds, overseers, or bishops. But we do have a leadership role in our lives. It's important what our children see. It's important what they hear. Because what they see and what they hear, ultimately, is what you see in them and what you will hear from them. It's a grave responsibility. It's a grave responsibility to lead a life as a Christian. But you have to know who God is and who the chief shepherd is and where you are going. If your intent is to go to heaven, then let's go to heaven. Let's not go astray. Let's not find ourselves feeding on things that certainly are not God's word. Let's not find ourselves in places that we shouldn't be, or even lead anybody else to. Let's not be deceivers of ourselves. As members of the flock of God, as members of the church of God, as members of the church of Christ, let us be those who follow the lead of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, God's Son. He says, if you're going to follow me, if anyone wills to follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Because if you want to have life, I'm going to give it to you. But if you don't, you're going to lose your life. And lose it. Too many times sheep wander away from the fold when they find themselves upside down. Once they get on their backs, there's nothing that they could do. They can't turn back over. The shepherd has to come along and put them upright again. You know, too many times we find ourselves wandering away from the flock, and it doesn't happen all of a sudden. It happens imperceptibly, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, and you find yourself outside of the fold of God. What I'm asking you to do today is to pay attention, keep your eyes on the shepherd. Know who you're following, and know who's leading you, and know that if you're following the one that God has dedicated and directed that we should follow, then we will find ourselves going right to heaven, because that's what we all want. We're no more than sheep, and we're out to pasture. But God is our shepherd, right? And we should want for nothing, for nothing. But too many of us want for things that we just cannot have. Too many of us want for things that we should not have. Too many of us, we've decided that we don't want God anymore, and we wander. But I've got good news for you. The church has never given up on you, and the church will never give up on you. The chief shepherd comes. He says, I call my sheep by their names. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And when he calls you, just come on, just come. Come on. Because there will be men, he says, from among you who's going to rise up to draw men away for their own good. And we've seen that in the church. Those of us who are older, we've seen that. We've seen the era of the ways of man. But there's a way that seems right unto man. That's the way that we should follow. I got to tell you, we have some wonderful elders at this congregation. You may not always agree with what they do or what they say, but when you look at the scriptures, you'll find that it lines directly up with the scriptures that God has prescribed for them. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit leads our lives as Christians. Because if it was left up to each and every one of us individually, we'd all be out there in the world as sheep on our backs. And there's not enough shepherds out there to turn us upright. We'd all be lost. But the shepherd is coming to get us. He's watching and he's waiting. And his only desire is to shepherd the flock of God, to protect us from those things that are evil among us. And those of us this morning who doesn't even know who God is, doesn't even know the shepherd at all, we can know the shepherd. We can get to know God. We can become a part of his flock, the church that he purchased with his own blood. We can do that if we hear his word. We can do that if we obey the word of God, believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God, that he is the chief shepherd. We can do that if we repent of our sins, for we know that we do wrong and we sin every day of our lives. Let's not wander away from the fold imperceptibly. Let's repent of our sins before God that he might restore us. We might walk in the light with him and his darling son, Jesus Christ. If the precious blood of God, the same blood that he purchased the church with, the same blood cleanses from all of our sins. And let's be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, for it is in baptism where God performs the circumcision of the heart. It's a change of mind, you see. It's a change of person. You come out as a new man in Christ. And Christ lives in us. As long as us who live, it's Christ that lives in us. We can see God. If our goal is to get to heaven, we can see God, but we have to follow the right one. We've got to follow Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. If we can help with that today, why don't you stand as we sing the invitation song.
Through this pilgrim, there